This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sports Eat Those Bulls coverage. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined once again by my friend and co-host here, Trey Hill. Trey, I've missed you, man. I've done a few shows without you here, a few short ones, obviously, but glad to have you back in the fold and, somewhat happy to talk some Bulls with you. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Yeah, you've held down the fort with all of the news dropping. You know, we had the game the other night and then just players dropping one after another like flies, it seems like, with this team.
Yeah, it's been rough, man. Obviously, we had Stanley Johnson and who was the other one entered the health and safety protocols today. We had
Io.
Two players. Io Desumuya, which is a huge loss. Obviously, the Bulls fall to the Heat. We actually started recording this before this game was even over, so I don't even know the end score. The end score was 92-118, so we dropped it pretty bad. By the time we actually started to come down and get ready to record, they had Marko Simanović in, they had Devin Dotson in, and they had their end of bench in, which is like guys that are they had the G League.
When Marko is in, he is our version of a white flag.
They had Tyler Cook in, Elise Johnson actually got in. I'm a little surprised Elise didn't get in before that, just the way that we played. I mean, you feel like we just needed a shot in the arm there. Not an impressive game. I'm not going to bury the lead here. I am pissed off at Vucevic. Nikola Vucevic, the last two games, has been a struggle to watch on the offensive end. I think it's just a confidence thing. I think he's in his own head. Obviously this is we're reacting to it right after it happens. So you give me another day and I'll probably be less pissed off at Nikola Vucevic. But right now, after seeing what I've seen, just the massacre of my hopes and dreams of the Bulls winning this game, I'm a little upset at him. How did you feel about Mr. Nikola Vucevic today?
He seemed like he was rushing a little, pressing. I wrote down that it seemed like all of the Chicago Bulls starters were kind of pressing. I think they knew the lack of depth was something they were going to have to try and overcome, and then they just let that swallow them up. But Vucevic in particular, he definitely seemed to struggle. He couldn't seem to grasp the rebounds. A lot of them, you know, it took him a second to gather them even when he got the rebound, so that was letting the Heat get back on defense. I liked the shots he was taking for the most part. He did seem to rush a few in the post. I think you're definitely right about him being in his head on that end. The last 3 years, he's shot 66% around the rim. He's shooting 51% now, which is actually up. It was in the 40s for the longest time to start the season. So he's struggled in places where he's normally excelled. And I'm not as big of a critic as you are on his end. He does a decent enough job switching out. He usually gets a pretty decent contest on shots. He's down there trying to rebound even if his hands aren't working. It just seems like nothing's going right for him. And with the Bulls rolling the way they have to start the season, I guess I've just kind of given him more of a free pass in hopes that, you know, he'll find his groove working with all these guys because he is the third wheel and he's going, you know, in Orlando, he was the number one guy and now he's very clearly been the number three guy. So,
well, listen, Trey, I'm not saying that he's the worst player ever. And I'm not saying anything along those lines. I mean, I'm ticked off him. Here's why I'm mad. I think he does get a pass when the Bulls were full health, and he didn't need to shoot, you know, 20 to 25 shots. This is a guy during his career in Orlando was getting up 20, 25, 30 shots, you know, just as many shots as he wanted, basically. He was the focal point of the offense. So you would think, you know, we're down DeMar DeRozan, we're down seven bodies at least. I think it's eight or nine now. I don't know. I have to count. It's like I have to pull off my socks and count my toes.
They have to tell
how many people are out. Seven players out. Yeah, I'm missing a few digits, so that's why. So you know, it's with all those guys out, this is the guy I'm looking at to really carry us through this tough period. I mean, obviously you've got Zach LaVine, you still got Lonzo Ball, who both played well. Both of those guys, I felt like did what they had to do. Zach LaVine remains incredible. 11 for 20 tonight, shot 55%, 33 points, 7 for 11 from threes, which, you know, I mean, you can't ask for more from Zach, really. Lonzo, again, you know, 4 for 12 from threes, didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but a lot of those misses came at the end of the game when we were already out of it. So I think he played relatively well also. And driving to the basket, you know, hitting people that were open, things like that. But Vucevic, man, that 3 for 15, 20%. You know, what I'm noticing is when he's got his back to the basket and he backs Dwayne Dedman down to the block and then shoots that hook over his shoulder. What it used to be was when he would make that, we've seen him make that plenty of times, even with the Bulls. You know, obviously I didn't watch a lot of Orlando Magic, but even with the Bulls, we've seen him make it a lot. But it was more of like a floater, right? He would get his body more square and get his body turned. And now he's kind of launching it like before he's even got his shoulder squared. He's launching it like over his entire body, kind of almost like a skyhook, but it's like a short arm skyhook. So it's always short. Like it's consistently short. You'd think, after he's done it 15 times in a row, Trey, he would freaking do something else or maybe just stop taking that shot. He looks better in the pick and pop right now. So I would like to get him more in the pick and pop. And this, I put this a little bit on Donovan too. You know, I understand telling your players, hey, I've got confidence in you. I know what you do. I've seen your repertoire. I've seen what you've done with other teams. I get that. But at the same time, you know, when you notice that, you know, this guy's really struggling in this certain area of scoring the basketball, you would think they would try to get him in different spots to score. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I did have written down, though, that the Heat did an excellent job of anytime they were running that pick and roll with Zach and Vooch, they would double Zach and then they would have the guy off the backside come help on Vucevic. And early on in the game, there was like, I think it was at the 10:45 mark in the first quarter. Caruso gets, Zach gets doubled. They come to Vooch and Caruso gets the ball there on the wing. And instead of trying to pass to Vooch because he has the mismatch, Caruso did a great job of throwing the ball over everyone to Lonzo in the corner for a three. And there were quite a few times where the Bulls just missed the guy cutting from the backside because he was open and because his guy, Tyler Hero or whoever, was off helping on Vooch. And I'd written down, like, because it was Troy Brown who I noticed, like, at least twice they missed on wide open cuts to the basket. And he's athletic enough that if you throw a lob up there, if Lonzo's got the ball and they throw a lob up there for him, Troy Brown can go up and finish that. And I thought the Bulls didn't do a good enough job of forcing the Miami Heat to not be so aggressive on defense, because they were all over the place. They were doing what the Bulls did at the start of the season with Caruso and Lonzo. And I thought the Bulls didn't do a very good job of punishing them for being so aggressive.
Yeah, they were doubling hard off that screen and roll with Vooch. Obviously Vooch was doing what he had to do. He dove to the middle of the paint, and just put his arms up, you know, trying to draw either defenders or get the ball. That was fine. And then, yeah, like you said, they would pass to Caruso or Troy Brown Jr. or whoever in the corner. And then that person would basically have to swing the ball because the Heat defense is incredible. It's still good even without Jimmy Butler. I give Spoelstra a lot of credit, obviously. He's got those guys really well coached. They move as a unit on defense, which is just – it's really hard to break that apart. You have to move the ball, and ball movement's the only way you're gonna beat it. And they were moving the ball a little bit better in the first and second quarter. Obviously, the Heat came out of the gate and shot the ball incredibly well. I think they shot, like, what, 9 threes in the first quarter, I think it was.
They had 9 threes in the first quarter. Yeah. Both teams were above 50% from three at halftime. I noticed that.
Yeah, so, you know, they came out shooting lights out, so you can't really do nothing about that. So, you know, they scored 40 points in the first quarter, which doesn't help anything, and that just puts you in a hole that, you know, when you're down players and everything, there's very little chance they're going to come out of it. But the Bulls were, like you said, passing the ball around. They were swinging it from side to side and hitting that guy that was open on the weak side, because that defense, you know, if they're going to double and they're going to, you know, shift towards the first pass, then obviously that's going to leave that guy, like you said, on the backside, and the opposite side of the floor, pretty much wide open. They did a couple times hit that guy who hit a three or got a drive, whatever. Bulls didn't get a lot of fouls. I have to take a look here. I don't think they got to the free throw line a whole heck of a lot. They got to the free throw line 20 times, but I mean, two of those were Marko Simanović, four of those were Devin Dotson. So that's like, you know, the end of the game when it doesn't really matter. They had 16 basically free throws when the game mattered. So didn't feel like they were super aggressive. Honestly, the Heat only got 9 free throws, which is kind of incredible to see here. But they didn't need them. They were scoring. I mean, you don't get free throws when you're just tearing up the defense and scoring, right?
Yeah, they were picking up. Kyle Lowry in particular had 12 assists in the first half. He was just picking the Bulls defense apart, and it was just a masterclass in Kyle Lowry showing off just the value he has and kind of rubbing it in your face a little bit after you were so low on him in the preseason. This is your fault, is what I've determined.
It's my fault. Okay. There you go. I was kind of curious to see, you know, obviously Io's out and Stanley Johnson went out. So I was kind of curious to see how the minutes distribution would be for the Bulls. Troy Brown Jr. did start. Obviously, Caruso came back and did start. I know in my little short show after they announced Derrick Jones Jr. going to the health and protocols, I said pick up Io and then pick up Troy Brown Jr. So that was my second suggestion. Obviously, without Io and Troy Brown Jr. is the guy you want out there if you're playing fantasy. He stepped in. I thought he had some pretty good activity. You know, I saw him out there just in the right spots, made some good cuts, especially on the offensive glass and just crashing the boards. I felt like he did a decent job with somebody who's not necessarily has the biggest size. So I liked what I saw out of Troy Brown Jr. Obviously, he's not the most ideal guy to have out there, but I don't mind him starting while we're shorthanded. How about you?
Oh, not at all. I love the way he crashes the boards. He doesn't have a lot of size, but he's great about getting in there, getting the tip, you know, at least tipping the ball, letting Vucevic get his hands on it. I'm really happy with him in the starting lineup. He played 34 minutes tonight, and it says he was a minus 18. But I thought when he was out there, he played really well. He went 0-for-3 from the three-point land. So, you know, obviously if he could hit one of those, it'd be nice. But no, I like the lineup that they have starting. It's just the bench. They had 29 minutes from McKinney, who they just got from the G League. And then other than that, Bradley only played 9 minutes. I would have liked to have seen more from Bradley. I think Bradley's been playing well these last few games. And you see Vucevic get 34 minutes. I would much rather bump that down to 28, give those 6 to Bradley. And then Vucevic can just play that much harder when he's out there. Like, I feel like a little less is more with Vucevic, and now that we have a capable big in Bradley, I would like to see that utilized a little more.
Yeah, he didn't really get a chance tonight. I mean, I did see him. You know, I can maybe count on my, you know, two fingers here how many times I saw him on the screen doing something, right? So he didn't really have a huge chance. Elise Johnson is another guy that didn't really have a chance. He got in during garbage time, which is really surprising, especially the way that the Bulls were, you know, struggling on the offensive glass. What they gave up, how many offensive rebounds here? 12. Yeah, 12 offensive rebounds to the Heat. Dwayne Dedmon got 4 of them. PG Tucker got 2 of them. You know, I feel like a little bit of additional size would have helped, especially with the way that the Heat were just packing in that paint. You're going to have to get second chance points if you can't score off of the, you know, initial swinging the ball and shooting the ball, right?
Right, and Bradley had 7 rebounds in 9 minutes, and 3 of those were offensive, but he was huge on the glass. And you mentioned and I agree with you, I would love to see Vucevic step up and, you know, take the higher usage and be more of a ball hog, knowing that we're down all these players. But if you want Vucevic to do that, I think it's also fair to give him that extra time on the bench. And so I think the big key to fixing Vucevic is less is more. And I know I just said that, but I want more Tony Bradley. I can't believe I'm saying that, but he plays hard. Like you said, he has the energy when he's out there, and he's going to do the things that, while the Bulls have tons of talent, he's going to do the things that talent doesn't necessarily excel at.
I think again, this is for me. This goes back to the Bulls coaching staff, Billy Donovan, getting Vooch to the spaces on the floor right now where he is succeeding to get him his confidence back. So I did like when they come out, you know, they played a little bit of the Vooch Zach two man game. Obviously, like we said, you know, the Heat were really doubling hard off of those screens. But, you know, when they got them on the wing and it wasn't necessarily on the top, there was less of that happening because they were really only doubling that hard on the top of the key. So when they got on the wings and had a little bit of a Vooch two-man game, like I marked here at 240, I think it was in the second quarter left, they dumped it to Vooch in the post. He forced a double and kicks out to Zach for an easy three.
That wide open right there, yeah. Right above the corner, right? Like right there above the corner. It was, it was beautiful.
Yeah, just kind of clearing out a side of the floor and letting your two, you know, honestly best players. I mean, not to sell Lonzo Ball short, he's more of a role player than a star, obviously. So your two best players on the floor is Vooch and Zach. They need to be in a two-man game isolated on one side of the floor. They need to do that more when we're down all these players. I agree that when we have all these players back, it's not necessarily something we want to go to a lot. And they still, you know, do some pick and pop stuff and pick and roll stuff off the top of the key. But, you know, right now, like I said in my short episode, I said, you know, hey, this is really a test of Billy Donovan. If he wants to win Coach of the Year, if he wants to be, you know, seen as one of the best coaches in the NBA, this is where he's got to adjust with all these pieces out. You know, how do I, you know, you still got Vucevic, you've still got Zach LaVine. And I know that didn't work great last season, but at the same time, you've need to find a way to win with those two guys, I think. I mean, what do you think? Is there pressure here on Billy Donovan, or is there not?
I wouldn't call it pressure, not with all these guys out and with as well as he's coached, you know, when he has his team. But you did point out, and I had written down also, that they run those, I don't even know what they're called, but they're those side pick and rolls where there's nobody in the corner. So it's an empty pick and roll with Zach and Vooch. And then it forces the help to come from one side. So it makes it a lot easier for if they double, you know, when they hedge on Zach and Vucevic rolls and he gets the ball in the post, it makes it a lot easier for him to be able to look and read the defense because he only has to look to one side of the floor and he can see where the help came from and where the open guy is. So I think you're right in that they shouldn't be afraid to just spam that play over and over and over because it seemed like they ran it at least once every quarter. So to me, that says the coaching staff is aware that that's probably one of their best plays to get a quality shot. But to me, I would run it four or five times in a row and and just force the Heat to adjust because they're not going to want to give up quality shot after quality shot. And so to me, that would probably, if I could pick one, you know, one tweak to make other than playing Tony Bradley those 7 extra minutes, it would have been to run a lot more of that isolated Zach and Vooch pick and roll. And then just because, like you said, I think that puts Vucevic in a great position to succeed and to kind of get that confidence boost.
You've got to get him in your shot in his spots. And I think Billy Donovan, you know, struggled with that even from last season. So it's just something that we have to work on. I hope that Billy listens to our pod. He probably will, but maybe the word will get to him at some point. But no, you brought up Alphonso McKinney. I thought he gave us some, you know, great length, great energy, especially when he came in. He came in right away, hit a three, getting deflections, getting his hand on balls. So I liked it. Our second unit tonight was actually, you know, just it was as good as it could be. You know, we had Bradley, Troy Brown Jr., Caruso, Lonzo, and Zach on the floor at one time, and they really, you know, kind of brought us back a bit. So obviously, two of those guys are starters, but that's basically our bench unit right now with all these guys out. You know, bench's calling card has been defensive pressure all season, and I thought that they really stepped up in spots, put the defensive pressure on the shorthanded Heat, and, you know, caused turnovers, got out in transition, got easy buckets. That would be another great way to beat this Heat team is get in transition before they can set up that really tough defense because they're really compacting that defense. So if you get it back before they can set that up, obviously you get easy baskets and you know, hopefully find people out of position. So I did like some of that I saw out there from the second unit.
Yeah, and Caruso was only able to play 27 minutes. All the other starters played at least 34. He was -4. And, you know, individual plus minus, it's not a stat that you want to look at very often. But I think it's very telling that when Caruso was on the court, they were only -4 in his 27 minutes. And while McKinney gave pretty good minutes for what we were expecting, he played 29 minutes and was a -31. So I think the value that Caruso adds to this team was was just highlighted, like in big bright neon signs just flashing in this game. It really showed, even like, I didn't feel like he was limited when he was out there necessarily by the hamstring, but that's probably why he only played 27 minutes. So I think once we, if we can get him, you know, up to that 32 minutes, you know, get at least one or two other depth guys back, I think we'll be sitting a lot more. I don't think we'll be nearly in as big of a panic as we were after this game, just being like, oh man, that was brutal.
Yeah, you know, and obviously we're still sitting pretty. I mean, we're still near the top of the standings in the East. I don't know exactly where now. I'll have to look it up. But what's good and what's lucky for us now is that the schedule really softens up for us here. We've only got two games in the next 7 days, I believe, if I'm reading this correctly. So two games in the next 7 days, and it's the Pistons and the Raptors. So, you know, a lot of travel time in between that, a lot of downtime. Hopefully by the end of that travel, we'll get DeMar DeRozan back, which will be huge, obviously. If not DeMar DeRozan, then maybe one of these other, you know, guys comes back. I know that they have to be out at least 10 days or have to return two negative tests. So the good news is I did see on Twitter, you know, that I think Billy Donovan was the one that said that, you know, everyone that has COVID-19 is asymptomatic or having mild symptoms. So it's not something where we can really think that's going to affect them long term, I would hope. And like I was saying in the last show, you know, this is just, it's so unfortunate, but this is just the new reality we're in. I mean, I think I'm hoping this is the only time we're going to have an outbreak like this on this team, but it could happen again, Trey. What do you think?
Well, I'm crossing my fingers that it seemed like most of the Bulls players were fairly well vaccinated anyways. And from my understanding, when you get vaccinated, it covers you, say, like one of them might cover 85% of the strain. So you're still susceptible to 15% of different strains. But after you get the virus, you get those immunities. That's kind of like what Aaron Rodgers was talking about, how he had it. And then he had those immunities. So to me, I'm hoping, that if you look, so if you go back and you look at the COVID missed games, the Jazz, the first team to have the first, you know, major breakout, they missed the least amount of games due to COVID because those guys had already got those immunities. So there is a little bit of precedent, at least to show after a team has a breakout, they don't seem to have another breakout. So fingers crossed that the Bulls are just getting this out of the way now. And obviously it's not something you ever want to happen, but I'd much rather it be happening before the All-Star break rather than like going into the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there's a lot of Bulls fans on Twitter and whatever, just saying, hey, we should postpone, you know, these games of this season. It's just not going to happen, guys. This train's rolling. We're going to keep trucking along. We have to just kind of get through it. Obviously the Sixers just went through a similar thing. It wasn't quite as bad. I think they had like four or five people out with health and safety protocols, but they had Tobias Harris out, they had Joel Embiid out, you know, they had Danny Green out, they had Matisse Thybulle out. So that, you know, they had really key pieces for them out for, you know, weeks. So it's just something that we need to deal with this season. And, you know, hopefully by next season, it's not as bad and we don't deal with it again. But no one's going to postpone the season. It's not going to happen. Bulls have to just figure it out. Like I said, it's really lucky that we have only two games over the next 7 days. So hopefully we can get some of these guys back. And I'm eyeing DeMar DeRozan as the top guy I want to get back here. But anyways, back to this Heat game here real quick. One thing I want to talk about with Lonzo Ball that I saw was I hate when he takes those step back threes. He was 0 for 2. I was trying to track it, but then I stopped at some point because I was just so angry watching Nikola Vucevic. But Lonzo Ball, he was 0 for 2 when he was with about 7 minutes left in the second on those step back threes. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, maybe there's 70 seconds left on the clock. So I understand that he feels like he needs to take a shot. But I just don't think those are good shots for him. I don't have the numbers in front of me. That's more something, you know, we can look up later, but it's just not a high percentage shot. I don't like when he shoots those. Have you noticed the same thing, or what do you think?
I definitely do not have nearly as much faith in his step back threes as his catch and shoot threes, for sure. Or even just, you know, off the dribble sideways. His step back, I don't know if it's the motion itself. It doesn't look as fluid as say Zach's does. So to me, I don't like the shot, but I, like you said, that most of the time it seems like when he takes them, you know, maybe the shot clock's running down or he's got a big on him and he's trying to take advantage. But I never, anytime he shoots it, I never expect it to go in.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Any other thoughts on this game we just witnessed? I guess you can call it a game.
No.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
On to the next one is totally right. Yeah, not a whole lot of takeaways. I thought the, you know, the Heat, obviously, Duncan Robinson shot the ball well just to kind of cover their side of things. Duncan Robinson shot the ball well. Obviously, Kyle Lowry just was lights out, especially in that first quarter. Bury a team early, you know, that's kind of a veteran play right there, right? You have a team that's kind of like on their last heels, not very many people to play. They just buried us early, took care of business, and then just kind of sat in their haunches. And we'd go on like a good, you know, 6-7-8 point run, and then they'd just come back with an 8 or 9 point run. So it's like, you know, almost stood no chance after that thrashing in the first quarter. Obviously, Tyler Hero also had a pretty decent game, only shot 38.9%, but he seemed to always have a clutch big shot. So that's just covering their sides. But guys, if you're just joining us or if you're first time listening, this is the Sports Ethos Bulls coverage show. And listeners, please take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. That's at Ethos Fantasy BK. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow now, guys. And an exciting announcement, guys. We have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get a 100% bonus deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing each night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. Check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners there, guys. And again, that code is ETHOS over at Thrive Fantasy. .com Thrive Fantasy. Yeah, so check that out. I need to get on that and check it out because obviously I play a lot of these player props. So sounds like a lot of fun. I need to go see what that's all about. My props tonight did not do so great. I was all over Vucevic points, so that kind of feeds a little bit of my anger towards that guy. But it's all good, man.
The truth comes out.
The truth comes out. Yeah, he lost me money. So, of course, he's the object of my ire now. Let's move on. Trey and I know we cooked up some goodies in the lab, in the last couple of days. We were talking about it a little bit. But obviously, you know, the Bulls are shorthanded now. But even if when they're full strength, we are down Patrick Williams, our starter. I feel like there's a hole that we need to cover there. And I'll talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, but I think the Bulls are really primed here and in a good position that they really, I wouldn't say need to make a trade. They don't need to make a trade, but I think it's a good chance that they do make a trade by the deadline. What do you think, Trey?
I think so. I think they're going to probably at least look around. AK doesn't seem the type to sit on his hands. Last year, you know, they had the biggest trade of the deadline with Vucevic. I don't expect anything probably on that kind of scale, but I do think he is going to try and the margins. He's going to try and win the margins. In my head, I was thinking what Bill Belichick does, because it's always the little things, you know, the little things that kind of give your team the edge to win. And I think that our front office might try and just maximize the potential this year.
Yeah, I think and I'm looking at the salary info, which we're going to go over here in our last segment. But we're basically right up against the cap for next season. So I think, you know, getting rid of some of the salary, but also getting somebody back that helps us is something that we'd be looking into. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got rid of a draft pick or a young guy here by the deadline. So with that being said, like I said, we did cook up some trades. Now, the first one here, I'm going to give it to you guys anyways, because I worked on it. I did the work, and I feel like I'd be wasting my work if I didn't give it to you. But we have some unfortunate news to announce about Mr. Jeremy Grant, who tore some ligaments in his hand. I believe it was his hand. Let me see here.
Yeah, it was his hand.
Yeah, his hand. So he's going to be out for an indefinite period of time, out indefinitely, which usually is not a good sign. It's probably going to be a few months at least. So my first trade here is for Mr. Jeremy Grant, which probably isn't going to happen now because that doesn't help the Bulls at all. But let's go ahead and rewind today and pretend like he's not injured. I had Jeremy Grant coming from the Pistons trade for in exchange for Derrick Jones Jr., Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu and probably a draft pick of some sort, probably maybe a future first or a second. I know what you're probably going to say. I see you getting prepped. You're saying, I don't want to get rid of Ayo. I get it, but go ahead. Give me your thoughts on that one.
Oh, I had the same trade. I also had one where instead of Ayo, because again, I think a lot of people would frown upon that. Javonte Green, Marko Simonovic, who, you know, I think could play that Kelly Olynyk role in a couple years. And then the Portland first round pick we have. And I don't know if there's a way to weasel around being able to send our first round pick this year yet because of the Stepien rules. Maybe the Pistons would have to send us their first round pick and just make it lottery protected so then it doesn't convey.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I would be willing to do like Derek Jones Jr., Kobe White, and like you said, Ayo at the time. Yeah. Or if you could get him for, and also keep Ayo, that'd be even better. But I also had one for Jeremy Grant, so I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah, and let me say, you know, obviously I love Ayo too. I'm a big, if you follow me on Twitter, which you should, I'm at BSPP Keith, go follow me. But I'm an Ayo stan. I love Ayo. I love what he's done. I love everything I've seen from the kid. I think he's going to be a very excellent player. I don't think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a great role player, though, in the league. I think he could probably be someone that lasts in the league a good long while. He has athleticism and size to guard, you know, 1-3, and even some fours. You know, he's got the ability to knock down an open jumper. He's really got a great head on his shoulders when he's driving to the hoop and going to score, finishes around the basket. I can't say enough good things about Ayo. But if you think about that, guys, I know we're Bulls fans, we're Bulls stands, but you got to kind of flip the table sometimes in a trade and just ask, well, what's the other side want? Because if we're just giving them Kobe White and Derek Jones Jr. and a second round pick, that's just not enough for Jeremy Grant. That's just not going to be enough. So that's why Ayo's in there, just to kind of even those scales a little bit. And I still think you have to throw in probably a future first in my scenario. Good.
Now, I can't get on you too much for trading Ayo in that one, because in my next trade, I have Ayo going out with Derek Jones Jr., Kobe White, Ayo, and that Portland first round pick for Sabonis from the Pacers. I'd love to get Torrey Craig in there too, if you can make it work. But in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to make a Sabonis trade. So I've got Derek Jones Jr., Kobe White, Ayo, and the Portland first.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think they're so high on Sabonis. I don't know if it's enough to get Sabonis from him. I don't know if that's enough. I think you'd have to get probably a young and budding star, I would think, because the thing is, he's got two all-stars on his resume, right? Which is something that's going to be hard to circumvent when you're trying to trade for him, because they're going to want somebody that's an all-star in return. That's kind of how that thing works, right? So I don't think any of those guys you mentioned are good.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, to me, this is just the offer you throw out, and if they bite, great. I don't expect them to necessarily, but I wouldn't want to include Williams in that deal. I think Williams has too high of a ceiling going forward, personally.
And the other thing, no, I don't want to get rid of Patrick Williams. I think we're gonna have, I'm not gonna mention any names, but I think we're gonna have a guest on here soon, I hope. Who's a relatively big name in Bulls Twitter. And we know we're going to talk to him a little bit about Mr. Patrick Williams. But anyways, no, I don't want to get rid of Patrick Williams. I don't at all. I think he's got sky-high potential. I love what I've seen out of the kid. Very young still, so not going to do that. But, you know, I also don't – I'm not a big fan of the Sabonis and Vucevic pairing. I just think when you've got – because – and I haven't watched enough of Sabonis on defense, to be honest with you, so I need to watch more of that. But you know, we saw what it looked like with Lowry. I think, you know, for Vooch, it's really hard for him to go out there and hedge or guard somebody, you know, on the perimeter who's a good ball handler, who's quick, who's just going to go right past him. He just tends to do the drop coverage pretty much every time when he's, getting in a screen and roll, when he's defending a screen and roll, I should say. And so, you know, if you also have Sabonis in there, I don't know how that works on the defensive side. I don't know if he's a guy that's going to go out there and do the Patrick Williams thing where he, you know, basically fights through the screen, guards the best player every single night, that kind of thing. So I don't know. Does that fit works for you, though?
I mean, defensively, I kind of think of it as they're not going to be able to pick on both of them in the pick and roll. Because if you put Sabonis's guy and Vucevic's guy in the pick and roll together, they can just switch more than likely. So it doesn't necessarily worry me on the defensive side. I like Sabonis's passing. I think this team really thrives on having all of that playmaking when everybody's healthy. And I was looking at guys who I knew were on the market, and I wanted to make some trades. So Sabonis is honestly probably my least favorite fit from everyone, but he was also the guy who is so highly valued, you have to include Io. As well as Kobe White, just to start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Io and Kobe White, that'd be a good starting package. I think ultimately you'd probably have to give them Patrick Williams. I would think they'd be asking for him in that trade. So I don't know if I would do it. But you did mention Torrey Craig, though. Torrey Craig cannot be traded until December 15th or 3 months after he signed his new contract, whichever is later. He did sign on October 20th, so actually December 15th, which is in 4 days, I think, here. He's actually eligible to be traded, so I couldn't actually run it through the trade machine. But I did notice that Kobe White makes roughly the same salary as he does. Kobe White actually makes about $1 million more, I believe. So you could do a pretty much straight up Kobe White for Torrey Craig swap, and also throw in a second round pick, I think. And I think that'd be enough to get it done, because I don't think Torrey Craig has a lot of value for a team that is rumored to be rebuilding.
Would you want to do that, though? Because for me, I would rather have Kobe White and what he offers as an offensive spark plug. Especially like tonight, how valuable would it have been with DeRozan out or with them on the bench to have someone else that Zach could throw the ball to and could actually create off of those advantages he was getting, you know, they were getting because they were playing 4-on-3 with two guys doubling Zach. I like Craig, but we've got Caruso, we've got Lonzo Ball, we've got Javonte Green, we've got Tony Brown, you know, we've got Troy Brown Jr. We've got all these guys who can play on the wing. You know, Zach's also on the wing. To me, Derek Jones Jr., just you can name off all of these guys that do the same stuff that Torrey Craig does. We don't necessarily have a microwave scorer like a Kobe White, like we want Kobe White to be. So to me, like I ran that one on a different website and it does work. So I had it saved, but I just couldn't bite the bullet personally to do that one.
Well, Trey, what you're saying is everything I was saying up until about maybe, 2 weeks ago. And then I saw the guy play. And Kobe White's just been god-awful, except he had one nice game. I think, how many games did he come back for? Like 6 of them or something like that? Let me see. How many games did he play?
He's played 9 games.
9 games. Wow, it's even more than I thought. What's this guy shooting now? He's shooting
23% from 3.
22.6% from 3. He's shooting 34.9% from the floor, averaging 6.1 points. Obviously, he's not getting like buku minutes. He's not getting tons of minutes. He's averaging, let's see how many minutes here. He's averaging 17.5 minutes. So obviously, he's not the opportunity that he was seeing last season. But, you know, and of course, you know, this happens with even the best of scorers. Sometimes they go through rough patches, and he just came back from a lengthy injury. I get what you're saying, that there is that potential there. And when we're talking about these trade rumors, I mean, obviously what we're talking about here is we're talking about trying to win now, right? We're talking about, you know, we think we're going to be a playoff team. So how do we actually become a legit playoff team that's going to actually give, you know, some fight once we get to the playoffs and rotation shorten and all that? Because I'm going to be honest with you, Trey, looking at this team, I love the Bulls. I think they've been fantastic. They started really hot. Patrick Williams was playing, you know, he wasn't playing at the very start of the season, but he was playing pretty decently when he was in there. But he just does so much that doesn't show up. I mean, if you're just watching box scores, you don't understand. Patrick Williams is out there guarding the best player on the opposing team every single night. He's switching. He's enabling all the Bulls players to be able to switch on the defensive end. All of their defensive schemes are based on this. This is why I don't want to go the two center route or the two, you know, traditional power forward and center route, because it just doesn't work with what Billy Donovan's been doing on the defensive side. It's totally different. So if we want to have Patrick Williams as part of our future, we need to have more people like that, right? So that's my thinking behind trying to go get Torrey Craig back, because I think he's one of those almost nearly elite guys at doing the 3-and-D type stuff. And I love Derek Jones Jr., like you mentioned. I love Javonte Green. I love all those guys as bench players to play 10 to 15 minutes off the bench. If you're asking them to play 25, 30 minutes, I mean, we've seen, you know, we've been down these guys. We've seen these guys come in, and, you know, every once in a while, one of these guys will go off, but they don't necessarily have that longevity to do it on a regular basis for a longer term. Or do you disagree with me there?
I mean, are you talking about starting Torrey Craig?
Like, I would start.
He's never played more than 20 minutes game in his career. So
it's a fair point.
To me, he's the guy who comes off the bench, and he does do exactly what you say he does. He's a great 3-and-D guy, but I also think he's been able to feast on second units. He's never been a starter except his second year in Denver, and it was his worst year by far. Looking at the numbers, like in terms of like his scoring accuracy. And so to me, I think he's a guy who comes off the bench and is a really good guy off the bench. Probably would come off the bench before the guys you mentioned, but he's still a bench guy to me. And so I'm a Kobe stan. I can't help it.
It's fair. It's fair. And it's a good discussion. I mean, I'm not saying I'm right or you're wrong or anything like that. I'm just, you know, throwing this out there. We're doing some hypothetical trades. What's another one you got for me?
All right. If the Magic look to get rid of Jonathan Isaac with the rise of Franz Wagner, Derek Jones Jr., Kobe White, Marco, and I wouldn't even throw Io in this personally. I had Javonte Green as someone you could throw in there, and then the Portland first round pick. That worked salary wise. I don't think you get Jonathan Isaac for that. I don't think they're going to look to move on from him. But with as good as Franz has been, I don't know how they take him out of the starting lineup. And Isaac's got an injury history. I don't know if the Magic, like, they're probably getting ready to go through another rebuild. So I'd at least make the phone call.
No, I like that. I like that idea a lot. That's the kind of guy I would want to get on the team. So I like that a lot. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, he's been out for so long. One of the good things about that is that he's been out so long, so his asking price is probably deflated. And he had a really solid, I think I want to say like maybe 3/4 of a season before he ended up tearing his ACL, I think was his injury. So, you know, he's been out for quite a while. His trade value is probably low, so you want to buy low on these guys. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think he's like 20. Was he 23, 24? How old is he?
Not
24. So he's relatively young. I think he fits the timeline. That's something I'll talk about a little bit more when we talk about the contracts too. But yeah, I dig that. I dig that a lot, especially you're not getting rid of Io. You're keeping on Io, and I don't think you're getting up too much there. And I do think I could see the Magic going through it if you give him like a first round pick. So I like it. I did try to do, because I know we had some suggestions. I actually asked for some suggestions on Twitter and on Discord. We did have some people talk about getting Thaddeus Young back, which I think would be amazing. That'd be fantastic. That'd be great. I think he would fit super, super well. But I couldn't get it to work, Trey. I kept getting this error message on the ESPN trade machine. And you can tell me what you think is going on. But I kept getting the aggregate outgoing salaries are less than or equal to $6,533,000, blah, blah, blah. And therefore, they cannot only accept the incoming aggregate salaries that don't exceed 175% plus $100,000. So basically, I had to cut what I read from this that I actually retained, because all that was just gibberish to me, was that I had to cut about $5 million from the Spurs side, which I can't do. It's only one player's salary, so I don't think it's possible via the salary cap rules to trade Thaddeus Young to the Bulls. What do you think?
I can't remember who the player was for the Spurs, but the Spurs traded a player away and then ended up getting him back. And so the NBA has a rule. The Bulls cannot acquire Thad Young from the Spurs until the end of this season. If Thad Young were to be cut or waived and then no other team claimed him, then the Bulls would be allowed to sign Thad Young. That's the only way he can get back onto the Bulls before start of next season.
So that's a no-go. So anyone that's out there asking for that, unfortunately, that's a no-go. So wait, so you said basically if a team has traded a player, they cannot trade back for that player in the same season. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh, darn. That's going to kill my last one, which I thought was hilarious. I was wondering if that ever happened. But I do have one at the end. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to – you said for the end. So I'll throw out my next one. This is kind of my last higher-end guy.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Barnes on the Kings. I've got Derek Jones Jr., Johnson, Kobe White, and that Portland first-round pick again.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't add up quite to his salary. It works enough, but we could add in a Javonte Green or one of these other, you know, $2 million under guys if they also wanted one. But to me, I think he's a guy that they might be looking to move, especially if they continue to not do well this year. And I think he would fit extremely well with this Bulls team. He fits everywhere he goes.
Yeah. I mean, they're currently I'm a big follower of Kings Twitter, actually, just because how do I be diplomatic about this? It's hilarious because they've just been bad for so long. And so they're just such a suffering fan base. And I personally love suffering fan bases, Trey, because I've been a Bulls fan for a long time. Obviously, we suffered for quite a bit. We haven't suffered nearly as much as other franchises, though. And the Kings have suffered quite a bit. And
I believe the Bulls actually have the record for holding the longest protection on a pick and it not conveying with the Kings pick, because the Bulls had a Kings pick for it was like 5 or 6 years and it was lottery protected. And we thought for sure, oh, DeMarcus Cousins is like, they're going to make it one of these years. We're going to get a first round pick out of these guys. And it's going to be, you know, the 16th pick. And we had that pick for like 5 years, never conveyed, ended up being 2 seconds. So it's just funny that you bring up the Kings' misery and the Bulls' misery, because part of that Bulls' misery was because the Kings were so bad they couldn't even give us their pick.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. I remember that, the mythical Kings pick that never converted it. There needs to be like a book about that. Someone's got to write a book about that. I think we might have another guest on that's into stuff like that eventually. So stay with us, guys. We're going to get a lot of cool people on here. But no, basically what I'm talking about with the Kings is that they're basically right now they're not playing their best players. From Kings Twitter, I'm gathering this. You know, obviously I watch some Kings basketball. I don't watch nearly as much as these guys. But basically what they're thinking is that the Kings are showcasing their talent right now to go out there and execute trades, because they don't have the right team right now. They just fired their coach. So it is a kind of chaotic atmosphere there. It's always a chaotic atmosphere. It's the Kings, but it's a little bit more so now because it does feel like more like they're changing the guard a little bit. Bagley's back in the rotation. Suddenly Bagley's, you know, played 22 minutes tonight. Harrison Barnes played 25. You know, everyone's getting like the mid 20s minutes wise. So it's like they're kind of playing everybody. Let's see, they didn't play Terrence Davis a whole lot. And they didn't play Chimaeze Metu a lot. And these are two guys that are youngish, that they're, you know, high on. So the thinking is that they're trying to get, you know, showcase some people and drive up their price by letting them get numbers, basically. So, yeah, I could see Harrison Barnes being a guy we could get. That would be a fantastic. I mean, he's more of a scorer than a defender, if you're asking me. But there's nothing wrong with that. You can never go wrong with more scoring in the NBA. So I don't mind it at all. I think it's a good trade. I did have one here also. It's a three-way trade, and this one was kind of interesting. It's kind of a low end guys. I've only got a couple more here, but this is my second to last one. So these are kind of low end guys, but basically the Bulls will get Brandon Clark from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies get Jackson Hayes from the Pelicans, and the Pelicans get Kobe White and Sam Merrill. So my thinking there, right? Brandon Clark, I love this kid. I think he's, you know, he's more of a traditional power forward, so it's not necessarily my favorite fit. I know I've already, you know, kind of not lambasted you, but told you that that's not my favorite thing to do with the Bulls. So he's more of that traditional guy, but he's only making about $2.7 million in a year. So, you know, the salary's right. He's only on a 2-year contract. He's young. He's got the time frame, you know, that I think is going to be beneficial for this Bulls team if it ends up being that he's a good fit. Obviously, for the Memphis Grizzlies, getting Jackson Hayes for center, I don't think that Steven Adams is going to be their long-term, you know, guy there. Jackson Hayes obviously has shown incredible athleticism and just upside. He was in the G League, dropping like 31 points the other night. So this guy, you know, he can ball. So I think he's also someone that's got high upside that, you know, the Grizzlies could potentially use down the road. And then the Pelicans, Coby White, I think really fits well with the Pelicans. I'd be looking to shove him over there as much as I could. They've got Devontae Graham, who's basically, I would say, maybe the same player, a similar player, maybe a better shooter, but maybe, I don't know. But Kobe's maybe a better scorer, I would think, overall. And it's just, you know, if they're going to go the Zion playing the point forward route, they're going to need a bunch of guards basically that are just like that will spot up, hit the three, score when he's off the floor. So I think Coby White fits there. Sam Merrill's just in there for filler. Not really expecting much out of him. What do you think about that one?
I really like that one. I think that's good for all three teams. I'm always leery of three-way trades because it's so hard to get value for each three teams. But that one's really well put together. I think Clark would be a guy. I think that's a guy who could fit well in Chicago. You said you have one more left after that one?
I do. You want to go into that one? Or?
Oh, no, I've got one. I've got two left. So
okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I've got Elias Johnson. This is for Larry Nance Jr. from the Trailblazers, the guy I hope the Bulls were getting when they traded Lauri Markkanen in the summer. So Larry Nance Jr. for Elias Johnson and Coby White. Nance has had a little bit of a down year in Portland, but he's another one of those playmaking bigs who does a great job of making the right pass and doing that sort of thing and playing with the ball dominant guards of Lillard and McCollum. It's not an offense that's conducive to maximizing what Larry Nance Jr. can do. And the Bulls team, I think, is a team that he could come out and really show all of the talents he has. And we love the hustle guys. Larry Nance Jr. is consistently towards the top of the league in like deflections and, you know, contesting shots. He gets his hands in passing lanes, and he would be great playing with Caruso and Ball and just swarming on a defense. So this one might have been my favorite guy to add, just especially for the cost, with it only being, you know, Coby White. I think especially if they're going to be moving McCollum or he's going to be out for a little while, they're going to need another guard because that's how they built their offense. And so I think Coby White could go there and thrive also. So to me, I liked this one.
No, I like that too. Larry Nance would be a great get for the Bulls, I think. And even though he's a little bit more of that traditional power forward, I think he's more of a modern hybrid type of player because he does hit that jump shot, does space the floor a little bit, can pass the ball. And again, his defense, I think, is really what sets him apart. So I like that. I think that's probably my favorite one as far as that type of player would be. I would like him even more than I would like, you know, a Brandon Clark. But obviously, that's more of he's just a higher level. But you'd have to go up a little bit more to get him. Okay, my last one here, Robert Covington. I want Rocco. I just want Rocco. I think he'd be a fantastic fit of the Bulls. He's exactly what we're missing with you know, Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams, in my projection, is going to be a better Robert Covington, I think. I think he has that upside. I mean, is he going to be that? Is he going to reach that potential? You never know, obviously. But, you know, he's got that upside. So I really think that Robert Covington would just be a fantastic guy to just slip into this lineup while we're down Patrick Williams. And I originally had – okay, so obviously now that I've got this information from you, this isn't going to work. But I had us sending Derek Jones Jr. back to the Portland Trail Blazers with Ayo Dosunmu. Again, we're throwing in something that they're going to want. I think that this is a scenario where if the Portland Trail Blazers are going to trade Robert Covington, they're going to probably be doing a – maybe not a rebuild, but a retool and maybe getting a little bit younger, a little bit more athletic. So that's why I think Ayo and maybe a second-round pick you'd have to throw in there or something like that would get this done, because I don't think Robert Covington – he's had a pretty bad year so far. But I still believe in him. I think he's a really, really excellent 3-and-D player and just an efficient scorer. You know, that's just been his track record up until this season. What do you think about that one?
I'm not as high on Rocco as you, so I don't hate it. I'd hate to give up Ayo for him, though, just because, like I said, I'm not nearly as high on him. I think he was a great 3-and-D guy, but I feel like the last 2 years, anytime I've watched, he just hasn't kind of lived up to my expectations. And that might just be the few times I've watched him, he's had rough games. But to me, I'd hate, and I'm probably overvaluing Ayo there, but I'd hate to give him up for Rocco.
Yeah, this would be a win now move. This would not be a better for 2 or 3 years down the road move. This would not be that. This would be, I want to win or be competitive in the playoffs now. And I think Robert Covington can give that to you. But yeah, 2 or 3 years down the road, you'll be missing Io, I think. All right, what's your last one? You said you got one more. Shoot it to me.
I love the Larry Nance one the most. This might be my second favorite because it's just a value buy. Jamichael Green and Bones Highland from the Nuggets for Coby White. The last 3 years, Jamichael Green has shot 41, 39, and 40% from three. He's only shooting 22% this year. But to me, every time I've watched him play on the Nuggets, it seems like he's much better suited as the fourth or fifth option on a team. He's that guy who when you kick it to, you've rotated the ball after somebody gets doubled and he's got the wide open shot. He's knocking down the wide open shots. And to me, with Murray being out, with Michael Porter Jr. not being, him being out now and not playing effectively when he was playing earlier in the year, I feel like more of the load, just the defensive pressure was able to get to Green. But in a system like Chicago's, I think he could thrive. And I loved Bones Highland as a microwave scorer coming out of this last draft. So to me, it's just kind of trying to sell high on Coby White, especially with his draft stock pedigree. And Bones Highland is a guy who could develop into what we think Coby White's going to be. So to me, it's adding Jamichael Green and getting a guy who has, an outside shot of at least being as good as Coby is going to be.
Well, that would be quite a gift from the Denver Nuggets, I think. So, but hey, guys, speaking of gifts, happy holidays, everybody. 'Tis the season of giving, but stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball. Yep, it still has our old name, guys. We're Sports Ethos now, but we are Hoopball, so it's expressvpn.com/hoopball. That's H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L. And you'll get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription. It's super easy. Turning it on just takes one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass 2. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball. Grab those 3 bonus months now. Go get it. Yeah. Use a VPN and watch all the league pass that you want. I would like that obviously for the Bulls. I like Jermichael Green. There's a possibility that Denver wants to blow it up. They haven't had a fantastic season, but,
I would also point out that, though Bones was just drafted and Coby's been in the league a couple years, they're actually the same age. Coby's only a couple months older. So while it does seem like, like I said, you're selling a little low on, selling high on Coby and getting Bones when he's a rookie, the age difference isn't, it's not like Bones is only 19. He's almost 22. So.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I think, I think those are all good. Here's some other guys in the Discord and Twitter that were mentioned that I don't think are necessarily going to be guys that we could get. I had some people mention, we mentioned those three. I had some people mention Kyle Anderson. I saw thrown around a few times, actually, and I've seen that in some articles I've read online. I just don't think the Memphis Grizzlies want to part with Kyle Anderson. He's not necessarily getting a lot of minutes right now in Memphis, but I don't think they really have anybody that can replace exactly what he does. So I just don't see us having a good chance of getting him. Someone suggested Obi Toppin. Don't think that New York is at all going to give up Obi. He's looked really great last couple of games. And if anything, they're going to give up on Thibodeau so that Obi can play more minutes. Cause of course Thibodeau is being Thibodeau and not playing the young guys any minutes. He only got 19 minutes or something. And he scored 16 points or something like that. It was pretty good, but I'm not getting the minutes that he deserves quite yet. Someone had mentioned Cam Johnson. I don't think, I love Cam Johnson. I think he'd be fantastic. He's a great 3-point shooter. I just don't think with the Suns having, title aspirations, they're going to give up. I don't know. Is he the best 3-point shooter on the team? Probably. I would think he is. I mean, just a pure 3-point shooter. I mean, obviously Devin Booker can hit the three and Jay Crowder hits threes here and there. But I think Cam Johnson is the most steady, solid 3-point shooter on the team. What do you think?
I'm trying to go look because I want to agree. But, okay, so he shoots 41%. Devin Booker shoots 41%. Mm-hmm. And Mikal Bridges shoots 43%.
Oh, wow.
They're all three of them are up there. But I think Johnson does have just an absolutely gorgeous stroke, like you said. Mm-hmm. And he's right up there with dependable three-point shots. He also, he shoots 40% from non-corner and 44% from the corner. So he's able to shoot threes from all around the three-point arc, which it, to me, that makes a huge difference, because if you have a guy that can only shoot in one spot, then that he might be a great three-point shooter, but that still kind of puts a limit on your offense.
And these are fantastic names. I would love to have them. I just think that you'd have to give up too much to get them. I don't think the teams that have these players are going to give them up, not for anything that we would want to give up for them. So great suggestions, but yeah, just a little bit out of our price range, I guess I would say. But yeah, that's it. That's as far as our trades go. That's going to be it. But we're going to talk real quick, Trey. I wanted to give you maybe 10, 15 minutes here to just look over our contract situation. And the reason I want to bring this up, and I said this right when the Bulls signed DeMar DeRozan, I was looking at the contract situation, and I'm trying to be, you know, Bolstradamus over here and tell you what AK is thinking, what Mike Eversley is thinking. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if a championship window opens up, it's going to be next season at the earliest. This season was never about going for a championship. I don't think anyone even right now thinks that we can win a championship, you know, realistically. I mean, is it possible? Of course, you know, is the world exploding possible, right? Everything's possible, but just the likelihood of that happening is not high enough for us to really take it seriously. But I'm thinking that next season is when it opens up, and here's why. That's when Vooch, his contract is expiring. That's when, obviously, Levine's going to be extended, right, this offseason. So we're going to have Levine signed, hopefully, here for the next 3 to 4 seasons, maybe two. I don't know. We'll see what he signs. So 2, 3, 4 seasons of Zach Levine. We'll have 3 more seasons of Lonzo Ball at a pretty decent contract. He's making about $20 million a year. We're going to have DeMar DeRozan for 2 more seasons. Patrick Williams for 2 more seasons on a really friendly deal because he's still on that rookie-scale contract. And we'll still have Coby White next season also on a friendly deal, which is a, you know, team contract. So I'm thinking that if the Bulls are really serious about building a contender, that's when they make their move. They're going to try to flip Vucevic, I would think, on that expiring deal to a team that's, you know, going to rebuild, that's tanking, and try to get some talent out of that and just hope that that happens. If it doesn't happen, if that opportunity doesn't present itself, then it's 23-24 that they're going to, you know, Vooch comes off the books. But this season, in my opinion, Trey, was all about getting Zach to sign the dotted line on the extension. What do you think? Am I crazy? Am I Bolstradamus?
I mean, you're 100% right in that the Bulls went all in like this to prove to Zach that they are committed to building a winner and to convince him to sign that that 4-year max contract. I'm not sure if it's 4 years or 5 years, whatever it is. I fully expect Zach to sign it. He's going to be making like $33 million a year. And at that point, assuming Zach's making $33 million a year, you've got DeMar at 20, the year that Vucevic was going to be a free agent, so 23, 24. If you get rid of Vooch and you get rid of Coby White, you've still got DeMar at 28.6. You've got Zach at, say, 33. We'll call it 32.5 because it's going to make my math easier. We've got Lonzo at 20.5. You've got Caruso at 9.5. You've got Patrick Williams at 9.8. You've got Tony Bradley at 1.8. You've got Javonte Green at 1.8. Marko Simonovic at 1.8. And you've got Io at only 2.2. That only gives you 12 million, or that only gives you 10 million in cap space. Whereas if you're a team that's over the cap, you can use that mid-level exception, which is what we use to sign Caruso, I believe, this year. You can use that every year. Mm-hmm. And so this year it was started at 8.6. So to me, I think they're going to keep Vucevic. He was willing to sign a receding contract. You know, this year it's 24, next year it's only 22. So he's willing to sign team-friendly deals. So I think they'll bring him back on something that's a smaller contract. I think he likes playing with DeRozan. I think he likes playing with these guys. It seems like he's he says all the right things, and it seems like he does enjoy the play style. He just hasn't had the success. And if you have Vucevic still and you've got Zach, I think if they don't keep Kobe White, they're going to trade him for an asset, so they'll have that money on the books. I see the Bulls as operating as a team that's over the cap the next couple years. So to me, they'll be able to sign one player each offseason that's worth, you know, roughly about $9 million a year, because I think the tax is getting ready. You know, everything's getting ready to go up. So you're going to have about $9 million you can offer a guy, I think, each year, the next few years, because you have to work too hard to get that cap space. And when you have a team that's this deep already with guys that you like and you're comfortable playing, I don't see AK as a guy who's going to blow up half the team just so he can get $12 million in cap space or $14 million in cap space.
You know, look, if Vooch is willing to come back on a, you know, let's call it, $14 million a year or something like that, $15 million a year, right? Which is something we see, you know, centers aren't, I'm not going to call them a dime a dozen. That's a little bit not flattering, right? But they are, there's a lot of centers out there that you can go get. Like, you know, there's guys that are making like pennies, basically. Like, you know, Robin Lopez is making almost nothing. You put him on like the Warriors or something, and all of a sudden, you know, he's a pretty decent player. I mean, he can hang with these guys. He can play center on a team like that. He's not going to play 30 plus minutes. He's not going to put up huge numbers, but he's going to play that center position. He's going to do what you need him to do, which is rebound, rim protect, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, obviously, Vooch is a little bit special in the fact that he's a three-level scorer. We saw it last season more so than, you know, this season. He struggled a bit, like you said. But last season, we did see it quite a bit. You know, we saw that he could just score from everywhere. He just has fantastic touch. For whatever reason, it's just escaped him this season so far. But hopefully, he'll get it back. But yeah, if he's willing to sign a $14, $15 million a year contract for, you know, two or three more seasons, maybe two seasons and a player option or something like that, then yeah. Then he's the guy. He's the guy taking that extra money, and then you just add these small, you know, minimum contract pieces or whatever around him, rookie scale deals and all that kind of stuff. So really, it could be that this is our core for the next, you know, 3-4 years. That's going to depend, I think, a lot on how we do in the playoffs this season, right? If we go to the playoffs and, you know, everything's looking good and we're all healthy and there's not really a good excuse for it and we get swept, then you start to have those questions about, you know, well, you know, is this a real team or is this just something where, you know, teams weren't taking it seriously? And we have those questions too, right? Like about the Hawks, we had those questions, things like that. So I think it has a lot to do with the results this year. So there is a lot riding on the table as far as that goes.
I agree with that. They, especially after the start that they had, it'd be really disappointing to not at least have a little success in the playoffs. I'm hoping they at least make it out of the first round. My nightmare scenario is they finish in the 3 seed and Cleveland gets the 6 seed, because I think Cleveland is just a terrible matchup.
They have
for
our
the
number,
Bulls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're a terrible matchup for a lot of teams with the way just they've zigged while other teams are zagging. They play that opposite style that most teams are used to. And while I think that's a lot more effective in the regular season rather than the postseason, because in the postseason, these coaches who – all of these coaches are extremely talented. You have to know what you're doing to be an NBA coach. And so I think if you give a team that time to game plan against Cleveland, I think they'd be able to have more success against that size. But when you run into it in the regular season and it's your third game in 4 nights, or you know, you're just not going to be able to be as prepared for it. But I think the Bulls need to get out of the first round to not have people having the whispers of, well, what are they going to do? Because this is the team they're locked into.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously you just have to know that's one of the skills that's really hard to get as an executive, is to know when do you strike? When is the iron hot? When do you strike when the iron's hot? Well, when is it hot? You know, and you had people when we got off that hot start, and I was not one of them, Trey. I'm not one of those people that said, oh my gosh, this team is a real title contender. You know, there were people out there that were realistically saying that. I wouldn't call them casuals, but I would say, you know, they got a little caught up. They drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid, right? I got a little carried away with some early success. But you and I were both saying, you know, there's going to be some regression here. We're not going to play as well as we've been playing. We had them in like the 44 to 46 win territory, which I think is still a realistic goal. I think that's where they're going to end up, which would put them, you know, right about maybe 6, 7, 8 seed. So maybe a playoff play-in team, hopefully a playoff team. We're hoping they'll get the 5th or 6th seed. So they're right in that mix there. You know, and I think that's a comfortable spot for them. So maybe we end up 6th and, you know, we play the 3rd seed and that's going to be a tough thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, the cap this season was about $109 million. We're operating over the cap this season. Next season, we've already got $104 million on the books. And that's, you know, assuming that we pick up the player or the team options on Patrick Williams and Coby White, which I don't see why we wouldn't. And that's also assuming Tony Bradley picks up his player option for next season, which I don't see why he wouldn't. So, you know, we're like $5 million below $109 million. So we're basically right up at the cap already. And that's not even including Zach's max extension. So we'll be operating over the cap again. So that's why I'm saying if they want to make any moves, they would have to get rid of Vucevic, right?
They would, but even getting rid of Vucevic, you still have to get rid of Coby White to get roughly that $10 million to start with in cap room. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get rid of Vucevic and Coby White for an extra $1.4 million right. to offer someone. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, if you're operating over the cap, but you're not paying the tax, which the Bulls would not be paying the tax, I don't believe. They would be able to offer the salary, you know, the contract we offered Caruso this year, and it starts at 8.6. Whereas if Zach's making that 32.5, and you get rid of Vucevic, you get rid of Kobe, you're only able to offer one that starts at 10. So to me, if you want to get rid of Vucevic, you try and trade him for say the Pacers keep Miles Turner and Sabonis, and then next year they're like, we're done with this. Maybe they want to trade for Vucevic for Miles Turner because he's an expiring.
Yes, exactly. Expiring contract, yes. And right, we have to throw in a pick or a young guy, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Right, you know, maybe Vucevic, maybe Coby White comes out and plays better. Maybe Vucevic, Coby White, and a first-round pick for him. But to me, you're not going to be able to add anyone in free agency. So if you're looking to add assets, Vucevic and that expiring contract it's going to be your biggest thing to dangle at a team.
And look, he's 31 this season. I believe he'll be 32 next season. I'm not sure how close he is to 32 now. He's a big man. He is a skilled big man. So I think he's probably got maybe 3 or 4 more years in the league here. Probably 3, honestly. I mean, when you're 34, a 35-year-old big, I don't know, it's a little old. So this is where I think, and this is my personal opinion, this is where you strike when the iron's hot. Because like you said, expiring contract, it's going to be potentially nice for somebody out there if we can bundle it with a young player and a pick or just one or the other. Probably going to have to do both. But it's expiring contract. He's still got some skill. He can still put butts in seats. So this is why I'm saying that I think, you know, I'm not trying to say there's 100% certainty that he gets traded. But I think if the Bulls don't do well in the playoffs this season, if Vooch continues to struggle, or, you know, they see something that they don't like as far as his fit with DeMar DeRozan and all these guys, then this is where we end up trading him for, like you said, maybe a Miles Turner or something like that. I mean, who knows, whoever's available, right? That's going to fit what we want to do.
Yeah, I think you have to move him for a big because
mm-hmm. – yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. We don't have
this team, so. Right? There is no, and when I say bigs, I mean like a legit big. Derek Jones Jr. has showed he could play, you know, some small ball five. I think Patrick Williams will be able to play some small ball five. But when you run into the Vucevic or the Jokic's, or you run into the Brook Lopez and Giannis front courts of the world, you know, or you run into this Cleveland team, you need a legit 7-foot big guy who can be on the floor for you and not be a negative.
Go get James Wiseman next season. Do it for me. I'm such a big I'm a huge James Wiseman fan. I think he's gonna be big.
I like that one though, because everyone wants to talk about Sabonis going there and being, you know, Vucevic is a great passer. He he's not a super flashy passer, but he's almost always making the right read. He's a very willing passer. He spaces the floor better than Sabonis. I like the Vucevic for Wiseman thing you just floated. So
yeah, I think I'm a huge. I mean, Wiseman's going to be great. I think in like two or three seasons. I mean, he's very raw still right now. He's basically still a rookie. He missed so much time, but that guy is so skilled. I think Vuce, like you said, he's a fantastic passer. He could really help out this Golden State team. You know, there's not him clogging out up the lane really doesn't bother anything because mostly Draymond Green. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, they're all on the perimeter, you know, to half court. So it's not like he's clogging anything up for anybody that scores on that team.
If they can play with Kevin Looney and his spacing, they can play with Vucevic.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's the state of the Bulls there, guys. Like I said, I think we might get an exciting guest on here. I'm not going to give too many details that can break this thing down for us on a higher level and really tell us where we're wrong, which I'm sure we are somewhere. So, but no. Oh, hey, but before I go, though, guys, I do have a quick announcement for you. Before we sign off, I wanted to remind you all to use your coupon code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag and use promo code HoopBall, that's HOOPBALL, on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. So MyBookie, Manscaped, you guys need to go ahead and get on that stuff. They're fantastic. Obviously, I'm using MyBookie for my prop bets. I was talking about my Vucevic points bets that I missed. So, you know, go get that, guys. So, but that's going to do it for us, guys. I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
All right, guys. And go follow the show at EthosBulls on Twitter. And you'll find us there. And hopefully we win this next one against the Pistons. Let's go, Bulls.
Go, Bulls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and moneyline.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.